Would you do roll call, please?
Joy Still.
Here.
David Happ. Cheryl Hanley Maxwell.
Here.
Mike Smith.
Here.
Deb Rouch.
Are there any additions to the agenda?
I just have one.
One comment regarding the agenda. There's a small typo, and there's an asterisk at the end of clause 16A, which is other business specifically related to the closed session. That asterisk would indicate that there's a request for board action in closed session, and that's not the case. So that is a typo. Okay, moving on, we have two new board members. One is not here today. His name is David Happ, and we're looking forward to having him here next month. He had a scheduled vacation at this time, and I think he doesn't get to take too many vacations, so he was a little conflicted about that, but he is having his vacation time. He'll be here in October. And the other new board member is Dr. Cheryl Hanley Maxwell. She has a very, I hate to say very long, but she has tons of experience and knowledge in the realm of IDD. She is the new dean of the College of Applied Health Sciences at the University of Illinois. So we're really excited and very fortunate to have her on our board. And if you'd like to say a little bit more, that'd be great, Cheryl.
I don't really want to say much more other than thank you. I'm really looking forward to this opportunity, despite what I said about the reading.
Okay. Citizen input, public participation.
Hi, I'm Kyla Chantos.
Kyla, could you come sit down and
can you hear me now? Hi, my name is Kyla Chantos, and I'm the Advocacy Center Coordinator for CTF Illinois. And I just wanted to let everybody know that we're starting a new program in Champaign. We're starting an advocacy center for adults with developmental disabilities and intellectual disabilities. Our facility should be open and running in mid-October. And so we're, I'm sorry, ma'am, yes? Okay, I thought you were gonna say something, I'm sorry. So we're really excited. I've already reached out to our PASS agent. I've reached out to a lot of organizations and agencies in the community to let them know who we are and to try to get people aware and interested. All right. Thank you.
Do we have any CCMHB input today? Nobody here?
No. I could speak for them.
If there's some news to share.
Their agenda is roughly, it's similar to this agenda, but they have a fairly extensive report from Mark Driscoll on our work with people, on behalf of people who have justice involvement and behavioral health disorders. And that work is over a 10-year period, is that?
Yeah.
So it's a pretty comprehensive report. Otherwise, their meeting tonight will consist of some of the same activities. The three-year plans, with slightly updated objectives for this next fiscal year appear in each board packet, and their changes are fairly similar. So that's about it.
Moving on to approval of minutes. We have a lot of minutes to approve here. Okay, I'd like to call for a motion to approve the minutes as presented from the July 12th, 2016 meeting. Do I have a motion?
I move to accept.
Second?
Second.
Minutes are approved as presented. Do I have a...
Do we need to vote?
Do we need...
But it's a voice vote, right?
It's a voice vote, right? And me too, yeah.
That would be just a voice vote on that.
Okay. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, moving on, the minutes from July 20th, 2016, that was a special joint meeting, correct? Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes from the August 15th special meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes from the August 17th special meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And finally, the minutes from the August 18th meeting, a motion to approve.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to hog the...
Mixing it up.
Oh, I'm going to do it. Move to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay, President's comments. I just have a couple of things I'd like to mention. I think everybody in the room is aware that Governor Rauner vetoed House Bill 5931, which would have provided a living wage, $15 an hour base wage for direct service providers who are so undervalued, and there's such a severe shortage. So it was, I don't think it was a surprise to anybody that it was going to happen, because the bill was not... there was no revenue really attached to it, and it was estimated that it was going to cost $330 million. And in the current state of our state, you know, it's no surprise. It's just disheartening, though. So that's something that I think our board sees as a huge stumbling block, that continued DSP problem, the problem of hiring and keeping direct service providers who are so... important, and I'm hoping that there'll be some action to kind of maybe in another direction or whatever to move this on, and that we need to keep advocating for direct service providers. Secondly, Ebert Fest. We made a decision earlier this summer to table or defer the decision to continue providing monetary support for this anti-stigma activity. Mainly, we wanted to have a full board look at that issue, because there's been considerable discussion about anti-stigma activities and the Ebert Fest in particular. Because we are not all in attendance today, we are not acting on it, though, today. We may act on it in October. Stephanie's working with some UIUC social work students who are researching potential alternative anti-stigma activities, and maybe there'll be some exciting or interesting ideas that come out of those discussions, and that may happen in November. So just an update on that.
So I practiced what I was going to say now from about midnight to 3 a.m. And so if I can remember what I practiced and I can filter out what if it was maybe based on TV shows, I hope it's not boring. We may not have Dr. Hanley Maxwell at the October meeting either. So is that probably right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we might just bring that Ebert Fest question back. I think we need to have, you know, possibly some individual discussions about what people are thinking, so that when we bring it back, you'll all, you know, maybe there's momentum in one direction or the other, as Deb Rouge, that's who you mentioned. Stephanie is working with U of I students on possible other activities, and I did that in the spring. So I think we're learning some things that we might do differently or do instead of, and then it's agency staff might have ideas for things that we could do differently. So hopefully we can have a fairly full discussion about possibilities, but you know, regardless of what the decision is, I think those possibilities are in people's minds. The rest of my report for right now, I think, is the most relevant pieces that I would like to bring up are based on what I understand of the state's 1115 transformation waiver. I was invited to be at part of the community services work group, which met for, I think the second meeting was Monday. So that was the first meeting I went to. I didn't really have very high expectations of what stakeholder engagement means to Illinois, because I think a lot of the planning for 1115 and even waiver renewals, and certainly for the state transition plan regarding integrated settings in home and community-based services, is all done with the door mostly shut. So when there are opportunities to give public input, I try to let you all know, but sometimes we have just a week to do that. And so happily we were video conferencing from Springfield with a group in Chicago. The director of DCF was in Chicago. The director of Healthcare and Family Services, which is the Medicaid agency in Illinois, she was also in Chicago. The secretary for Department of Human Services was not at either meeting. And then the other secretary who had invited us, or the other director, was not at either meeting. And there were lots of state agency staff who weren't saying very much, but were whispering under their breath. So I learned more from that. So they did allow us to ask questions, and all the questions were answered, and the answers were fairly lengthy, with the exception of the questions that we are aware just can only be answered with money, and that's the increases in the reimbursement rates. I mean, they really, for an 1115 to be approved, it has to be cost neutral. So we already have a problem because Illinois can't afford the services it's committed to. So also relevant was, if the 1115 does come to cover every behavioral health service and social service that is seen to be have positive results in other parts of the country, which is it's a really nice plan. Everything is in it. If it does that, then we also need to change Rule 132, which is over mental health services, and the DASA rule that's over substance use, because the way those rules are constructed, they won't allow for integrated services. There were several people in the rooms who were DD advocates who were asking what happens to the DD waiver services under this, and the answer was relatively brief. That this is about all Medicaid-eligible people. So I think that it's similar to the answer about managed care, that DD is going to happen later. So that's sometimes good news for DD. That we move forward with the current waiver services. Anyway, so the big non-answers are about money and rule changes. So, you know, there was lots of praise for the state bringing together all the agencies who have worked in isolation from each other for a long time. And that was a lot of the whispering among staff was, really, we haven't. But the directors seem to think they have. So I'm glad we were invited. I'm glad there was some positive feedback from the advocates. There were some good things related to the behavioral health services, but DeeDee's not specifically in it, and I think for the moment I'll be grateful about that. The infusion of $330 million to support increased DSP wages would be really terrific. I think that one of the governor's problems with that bill was that $15 an hour is higher than the national average, but this is a national problem. So starting with a number that might actually solve the problem when it takes so much legislative time and advocacy action to get us there really isn't a terrible idea. So anyway, that's it.
Chandra?
In reading my report, I inadvertently omitted that I am actually working with the Disability Resource Expo Committee as the co-volunteer chair with Becca Obachowski. And so I am also serving on that committee as well. I'm included in the packet, and if you have any additional questions, I added the fourth quarter reports of the DD organization's fourth quarter cultural competency plan, which was completed. And so if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me. And I would like to also begin scheduling individual conversations and meetings with board members just to see your direction in what you would like to see cultural competency move to for DD-funded organizations. And it will just be beginning conversations regarding next steps for trainings and other types of supports and services.
Thank you. Barbara, you're here, right? Yes, there she is. You have a report for us today?
Good morning. Yes, I'm here with the annual Disability Resource Expo. We are getting ready for our 10th anniversary expo on October 15th at the Fluid Event Center. I think you all have the brochure. All of you, if you would pick up posters and brochures to help us get the word out, we would really appreciate that. If your agencies need some, please take a supply. I have more in the car, lots more. So our committee has been meeting and doing lots and lots of work to prepare for this. We actually met just yesterday. We're really in crunch time right now because it's coming very soon. We have 98 exhibitors signed up and ready to go, and 22 artists, I believe, that Vicki's working with, Vicki Tolf. We have you'll find the entertainment schedule in here, in the brochure. We've got a fantastic group of folks that are going to perform this year. I'm really thrilled. It took a little work to get them all firmed up, but it has happened. So we're really thrilled. We've got the first gig, Rock Camp, is out of Vermilion County, but they're wanting to expand to Champaign County as well. And so they're going to perform and have a booth to share information, as is the Penguin Project, CU Theater Company's Penguin Project. And they were on the news last night. They made the news, so it's a really neat program that they've got going. You know, CUSR is going to do bocce ball. We've got the Ryan and Nucleus Band. So lots of stuff going on. During the event, we also, of course, have a children's activity room that's going to be really busy with kids just running around and having a great time. Let's see. This back to the exhibitors. I said we have 98 new exhibitors. 14 or 15 of those are new this year. So we always try to, you know, bring in new blood and, you know, new technology, and we were able to do that this year. So really happy about that. We do a scavenger hunt each year to just kind of a fun thing for the kids to do. And last year, they had to find the service dogs and what kind, and learn about what service dogs do. This year, our scavenger hunt is focused around employment first, and that's going to be kind of neat. I think we've got Community Choices and DSC have been working on this for us, which is great. They're going to feature some of their employees working and their employers working together. There'll be pictures that the kids can locate and then learn about the, you know, the types of employment that is out there that our folks are doing. So let's see. We're really into the promotional phase now and looking at any and all ways that we can get the word out. We did a booth at the Active Aging Expo this week. We've got, you may have seen the MTD buses. Those are running around town with our ad. We have window clings on cars. We're going to be doing a CI Living on October 3rd, I believe. Jim and I did Disability Beat with WEFT Radio just the other day, Monday. And that's going to be playing, I guess, more than once. So that'll help kind of get the word out, too. I'm going to be sending out an email blitz, so anybody that can, we're going to do that like kind of weekly until the event. We found that's a really great way to get the word out, and it's also really cheap, so, as in free. So, you know, we're looking at all kinds of, you know, free ways to do that, definitely. We also have some paid ads on the radio that are happening right now and will become more frequent as we get close to the event. One of the neat things that we have this year, we just found out about that this week. Our stage is going to kind of be handled by, we've got DJ services through SJ Broadcasting. Josh Laskowski and Diane Ducey are going to be our DJs all day, so that'll be really cool. Just two other things. Our fundraising for this event, you know, we've really tried to bring in additional funds, and want to report that our Schwann's fundraiser has brought in over $500. We met our goal and surpassed it, and we'll probably start another campaign this fall so that we can kind of, you know, keep that going. We're doing the Bergner's fundraiser, Bergner's Community Days. I mentioned this last time, but folks, we will have these at the expo. I've got them here. Please buy your Bergner coupon book. They're only $5, and we keep the entire amount to support the expo. Questions? Anything? Okay. Thank you.
Not a question, just a comment.
Sure.
Since I've been here a very long time, the beginning of the expo to now is absolutely amazing. When you look at the different things that people can actually access now because there's a place for them to find that information, you should be very proud, all of you, for the work that you've done, because it has come to a point now where I get asked when it's going to be. So I appreciate your work.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it is great that it's a recognized event in this community, and you know, with the number of people that we come through each year, we know it's a need. We know it's a need. People are out there searching for resources. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Barb. Do we have agency information today? Dylan, are you going to give information? Okay. While you go up, I'll read from Vicki Nicewander, who wasn't able to join us today. She wanted to let the board know. Vicki is the director of the Illinois Association of Microboards and Cooperatives, and she is on the third day of the person-centered planning facilitator training today. That's the PATH model. PATH is not, it comes from Canada, and it's in use in some places more than others. It's a visual, and it has an interesting, like, to step back in time or step forward in time in certain increments to
to identify, you know, getting to the life dream, like in manageable bites, and it's a picture primarily. And so it's a 3-day training, and we have funded that this year as a special initiative, and Vicki will give us a half-year report either in January or February, but she just wanted to let everyone know it was going well so far.
Hi, my name is Dylan Boot.
Hi, my name is Dylan Boot.
I work for Pace.
I work for Pace.
I just wanted to provide you with a few updates.
I just wanted to provide you with a few updates.
The first is my first day back was yesterday.
My first day back was yesterday.
My medical leave was a lot longer than expected.
My medical needs took longer than expected.
So, it may take me a little bit to get my feet back under me, but I'm back.
So it may take me a little bit to get my feet back under me, but I'm back.
Second, it appears that Pace is going to get 100% of its FY16 funding.
It appears that Pace is going to get 100% of its FY16 funding.
We're not sure how much we will get, but recently there's been a notice on the comptroller's site that it says that we will get 100%.
Recently, there's been a notice on the comptroller's site that they will receive 100%.
We don't know when, but it's ultimately coming.
We don't know when, but it's ultimately coming.
And the last thing that I wanted to mention is something that is not directly connected to Champaign County, but I feel it's important.
I mean, this is something that's not directly connected to Champaign County, but he wants to share that he feels it's important.
We have recently learned that the durable medical equipment provider in Danville.
We've recently learned that the durable equipment provider in Danville
it's called Golix.
It's closed, you say?
It's called.
Oh, it's called Golix.
It's. It has closed the doors.
They have closed their doors.
From what we can gather, they were old. Over a $250,000 from the state.
From what we can gather, they are owed over $250,000 from the state.
And they just couldn't do it anymore. So when the owner got a small payment from the state, he just decided to retire.
Okay, so didn't catch all that, but the owner just decided he had to retire.
The reason why it's important for Champion and Champion County is many people preferred to use goods over the providers that are in Champion and Vanna.
The reason they many people prefer the providers or Gulicks over some of the providers in Champaign County, so that's a problem.
So, just wanted to make you aware that doable medical insurance is very important to many people with.
So they wanted him to share that durable medical equipment is very important to many individuals. And
that's all I have. Unless there are questions for me.
That's all I have, unless there are questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dylan.
Good morning. My name is Elise Belknap. I'm not totally sure if this is the appropriate time to make this announcement because this is my first meeting, but I work for Head Start. Okay. It's like nodding heads. So maybe this is the good time to say this. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm the new social emotional development specialist at Head Start. Lynn Watson retired at the end of last school year, as you probably know, and I have replaced her. Did you have a question? Yes, Elise Belknap, E-L-I-S-E, B-E-L-K-N-A-P. There's a silent K in there, just to be tricky. So I just wanted to say hi so you know who I was. I worked with Head Start a couple years ago as a doctoral intern with Lynn. I'm trained as an elementary school counselor with Penn State, and then finished my doctoral degree in counselor education end of last year. And so, but I'm very excited to be working with Head Start, and I've been redesigning our program, looking at different ways that we can provide services to our kids and our families, and I'm just very excited to be there. So if you have any questions for me about our program and the changes that are going to take place, I'm happy to answer that now or at any other future time. Would you like a phone number or email address? My number... it's the main Brookins office, right? But I'm extension 130, so it's 217-328-3313. Extension 130, and it's ebelknap@ccrpc.org. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Elise, and welcome.
Hi, I'm Kim Baldry from the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission Independent Service Coordination Team. And Lynn had placed these flyers out, but I just wanted to mention that this is on September 28th. It is a free home and community-based services training. It is here in this building at Brookings in the regional planning portion of the building in the John Dimmitt Conference Room on September 28th from 6 to 8 p.m. Seating is limited, so on the flyer it does give three ways to register for the training. So for families, community, individuals, and providers, we're encouraging them to come.
Is it filling up already?
I have no idea, okay. Because the registration doesn't go through okay. us. So it goes through the presenters.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Any other agency information? Oh, okay, we'll move on. Financial report.
I move we approve the claims as submitted.
Second?
Second.
A vote? Oh, sorry.
When these claims come in, since this is the first time I'm seeing it, this is, are they quarterly claims? Or are they monthly claims? What are they? Monthly. Okay, thank you.
Just, there was no claim this month for the Autism Network.
Oh, do you want to know why?
Yes.
Okay.
Is someone here from the Autism Network who would rather to say their contract was not returned on time?
That's all.
So they got a double payment when the contract came, it's a triple payment when the contract finally did come back.
No, I had to sign something one day, so yeah. I wondered if it was related to that. So, okay. Yep. All right. Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay.
Didn't it require
a vote? Right. Right. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. Approved. New business, election of officers. When officers were elected in July, we were in transition. So there was a motion or a suggestion that we revisit officer positions for this year when a full board was seated. So we do have a full board. Again, we're missing one member today, but I'll just read this. As required by statute, officers were elected during the regular meeting of the CCDDB during July. There was agreement that newly appointed members would have an opportunity to approve that decision. Do we want to table it until we have everybody here?
You won't have everybody here until at least December.
Okay.
So.
How long should go ahead?
Yeah.
I think we should go ahead and get that permanently and get all of their work.
Okay.
Can you identify who the officers are?
I am Deborah Rusch. I'm the president, and Joyce Steele is our
secretary.
That's it?
And that's it. Just the two of us, yes.
Can we make a motion to approve them together, or do we have to do it separately? Does anyone know? Then I move that we approve as a joint board, as a complete board, the officers as previously elected. Okay.
Do we have a second?
I guess I second.
Discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Congratulations, Joyce. Integration transition successes.
Hi, I'm Becca Obachowski. I'm with Community Choices. And I just wanted to tell you guys, we had one of the programs or activities that we've been trying to encourage is co-op clubs, which are groups of individuals who we sort of help them to facilitate getting together for social opportunities in the community. I'm sure probably many of you have heard of the Pokemon Go game, which has taken the nation by storm, and it has proven itself to be an amazing sort of tool to help get people together, and we currently have a co-op club about Pokemon Go with five individuals who are participating, and they're all just absolutely thrilled to be doing it, including one person who has, up to this point, kind of not been as enthusiastic about joining groups. So she has just really connected with the other people in the group, and so that I think we're going to be able to sort of let go on its own after a few meetings. So that was pretty exciting.
Thank you, Becca. Anybody else? Okay. I don't know if Linda, if you wanted to address this, we have agency performance reports.
I think
at the very least, I need to show you that the one of the handouts that's in front of board members and also available to the audience at the end of that table is PACE's outcomes report. It's not included in the board packet. Dylan, on his first day back from work, provided it to us. I was really grateful to see this. This is based on an outcome measure system that PACE uses, which is it's through the national SILS, right? Okay, and it's, so I look forward to this one because it's a really different presentation. It's interesting that they do it this way, and so I was happy. It's also much more readable. The copies that you have are more readable than what's in the board packet. So on that note, these performance outcome reports are what each agency submitted at the end of the year. They were due at the end of August, so they had a little bit of extra time to prepare them after the fiscal year closed. These are to summarize how things went compared with the performance measures that they established in their applications back in February of the year before. So sometimes there are comments about things that changed during the period, unexpected outcomes. We've done this a couple of years, just wanted the board members to be able to see exactly what the agencies are doing with that information. And in the future, we'll present some reports with aggregated data or a look back over a couple of years. We collect an awful lot of data, and we're trying to see what other things we can do with it that might be of interest to the boards. But this is raw data from the agencies, in their own words, and I'm sorry about some of the readability. There's a very interesting report in there from the Independent Service Coordination Team. This is kind of one of the purposes of the contract that we engaged with them last year and continued this year, is to have this report. This is, I think, based on 309 respondents who are on the PUNS. The PUNS database is prioritization of unmet needs for service. It's Illinois' instrument for, it has kind of become a waiting list or needs assessment survey. That's not necessarily what it was built to do. Okay. But this team put together a really interesting document on the things that those 309 people here who are either waiting for services or waiting for more services would like. Not just what they're getting and not just what they checked off in the PUNS list, but some detail about what they actually want. And I think that's something that we've looked forward to for a long time. That document is pretty hard to read in the board packet, but happily, a representative from that program is here.
That is page 39. Starts on page 39.
Can I ask some questions about the reports? It's needless to say, as an academic, I had to go through and identify all the things that I disagreed with. Okay. But that's not what I'm going to talk about. I I love getting updates on what somebody's doing, but when I don't get any information about what they learned and they're going to do differently because of the unexpected negative outcomes, that always worries me. And I don't know if there's a way to add a sentence or two when people report on if there was a failure of service of a service, or if you had a significantly lower level of outcome than you thought. What did you learn from that? What are you going to change?
So I'm going to add that to our, we're working on maybe some potentially new.
Sorry, we're working on some potential new performance measures systems, and so I'll add that to that. We actually collect comments like that in the application, so we'll learn about unexpected outcomes later in the cycle, and sometimes comments about unexpected results or barriers appear in the quarterly reports. So we may already have that information, and that we just need to kind of look at it, that we like look for anything like that.
Okay.
I think that's important.
And then there was one other thing that I noticed. None of the reports actually refer to collaborating. Well, actually, I shouldn't say none now. I'm going to feel like I am being too general. Most of the reports don't refer to collaboration with other agencies around any of these activities. And the missing of the PK-12 schools is glaring. So I'm guessing that no agency is working with the schools. And if they are, they're not talking about it.
Well,
it's possible that we have asked the agencies to work together now on what would be the most efficient and effective use of adult service staff time on transition plans.
And this is more than transition planning. So specifically, I was thinking about independent living training and employment training.
Okay.
Because in that 18 to 22 year period, there's lots of potential for collaboration.
Well, so the statute which establishes this fund and the board prohibits any of this money being used for anything the schools do.
I understand that. But,
okay.
But maybe we just need to have a separate conversation about this. I'm not saying that the agencies should be replacing what the schools are doing. I'm saying they should collaborate around the activity, and that rule has been in place since I've been in the profession, that you cannot use adult service dollars mm-hmm. for what the school should be doing. I just think that if we're not actively collaborating with the schools, supplementing, providing greater services, and letting the schools provide the basis, then we're missing some things. So where it really caught my attention was in the self-advocacy training and the self-determination training. If the schools aren't getting the feedback that people are coming out not prepared to do some of their own self-determination or engage in some self-advocacy work, then schools really need to be working on that stuff with kids before they come out. So I just saw missing bridges, mm-hmm. and it just maybe these reports weren't the avenue for that.
Well, I know that there is collaboration, and it's... It is, to some extent, outside the scope of the contracts, so they may not be commenting on it in the reports on these contracts, but it is a collaboration that we've specifically asked to hear about this year.
Okay.
So we could make an agenda item of it and talk to some key people to make sure that they are ready to come and speak to what happens. There's a lot of participation from these providers on the transition planning committee for this community, and that's been historically true for a couple decades. And there are other networks of involvement, and the Regional Planning Commission Independent Service Coordination Unit has the, on behalf of the state, they are involved with the transition and IEP students, but that's one of the mandates that they're not very sufficiently funded for. So that was part of why we wanted to have an active collaboration this year to see what we can build on.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay, moving on.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I forgot
oh,
one
I'm sorry.
Other thing.
Sure.
And this is just kind of an information. The federal government under FLSA, Fair Labor Standards Act, is starting to crack down on internships. So the mention of internships in here was here a couple times. So we probably want to make sure that, well, at least.
In projects?
No.
In the performance?
Yeah, yeah. And I think if people aren't sure about what's going on with how FLSA is being interpreted in relation to internships as well as volunteer experiences, it's probably worth people paying attention.
Can you provide what the acronym means?
Fair Labor Standards Act. Okay. It's the act that is in charge of things like minimum wage and ensuring that employees really are treated as employees. So that kind of stuff.
We as an organization are a little late to the party of actively engaging students in projects, but I think the agencies have lots of good experiences with interns and student projects, so that's good to know that we should be cautious.
Okay, this month we have the draft three-year plan with FY17 objectives in our packet. For information at this point, are there any comments or questions about that?
We'll share this with agencies and other stakeholders following this meeting. And then we have at least a month. Sometimes I think we bring these back in November, but we could, when we bring it back in November with comments from stakeholders, we may also have heard back from you about with your own comments about the proposed changes and any other changes. Stakeholders often have really important ideas to add to this, so we won't miss that.
Okay, moving on. An Employment First update. Do we have one today?
So last night we had the first of FY17's family meetings for our Employment First collaboration between DSC and Community Choices. We had a training during the day for staff from both agencies with Barry Lowy from Equip for Equality, who's a lawyer who focuses on guardianship and alternatives to guardianship. It was very interesting training, provided a lot of really helpful information, both just about the law regarding guardianship as well as some potential alternatives to it that could be presented to families as a provider. And then he gave a similar talk last night at Champaign Public Library. We had about 11 individuals who came. One of them was from the schools, and as well as some people who I don't believe have come to those meetings before. So. I think overall it was a success. We have redesigned the LEAP presentation with two new sort of LEAP coordinators, which is the Leaders for Employing All People. It's the sort of certification that we've created for businesses to employ people with disabilities. So they are going to begin giving that new training to businesses in the next few weeks. I think we have two businesses lined up.
Thank you, Becca. Scylla update. Do you have some news for us, Lynn?
I got more information than I was expecting, and some of it is about particular clients. So I think residents, sorry. So that we have currently this this board and the mental health board own two homes. There is enough money to buy a third one, but it would have to require very little renovation. So that's a topic for discussion possibly in the future, how to move forward. The provider who was chosen through an RFP process is Individual Advocacy Group, who were recommended by the state of Illinois, and they have taken on some, they split it into a ladies' home and a men's home because that's what works well for them. These are both fairly small homes, I think three people in each. So the notes that I got are about the recreational activities that everyone's excited about, and I thought that was interesting compared with the Independent Service Coordination performance outcome report, because there was a very strong interest in park district activities there, and it looks like that's what people are accessing here, as well as the horse therapy through Healing Horses and some volunteer work at Salt and Light. So, and Salvation Army. Okay. And then Best Buddies came up again too. That was also in the ISC report. So, and Friday Fun Days, which are another part, those are a general park district. Isn't it park district or is it City of Champaign, the Friday Fun Days?
Friday Fun Days happen everywhere. There are a lot of times they utilize Champaign or Urbana Park District activities, concerts on Fridays. They've been to many museums around the state, actually. They often travel all over the place. Arts and craft fairs, museums, those types of activity, out to eat.
Okay.
Different things.
So the it's not in the report, but I am aware that staffing is an issue for everybody. Direct support staff are hard to find and hard to keep.
Okay, on page 110 of our packet, we have our meeting schedule.
Can we back up for just a second before sure. We leave the other? There was talk at our last...
We don't pay taxes.
I understand,
but we've got, I can give you a full report on that. No problem.
Okay.
No, that's okay, Mike. Thanks for that.
Meeting schedule, any comments or questions about that? We can take a look at that and we are keeping our 8 o'clock meetings for the most part, I see, except for two noon meetings. Okay.
I didn't include the mental health board schedule in this board packet, but it is all the same days, but 5:30 p.m. on each of those days. And then the allocation timeline is... kind of, Cheryl, this is for you. The allocation timeline sort of predicts the activities around the allocation process. So now we're starting activities related to FY18 funding. So that's why it starts at approximately with the fiscal year.
Okay, at this time, it is time for us to move into closed session to discuss an employment issue. So do I have a motion to move into closed session?
I'll do it. I move we go into closed session. Oh, hey, I have a script. I move the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board move into a closed session pursuant to 5 ILCS Section C, Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, or performance of specific employees of the CCMHB and the CCDDB, and to specifically review the draft job description and contract of the executive director. The closed session shall include members of the CCDDB and will not include any staff.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved. We are going to move into closed. No, well, sorry. Do we
sorry.
Have
I should,
roll call?
Yes. So I guess we have a first and a second. So, Mike Smith?
Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
I don't know if I'm supposed to call Joyce Dill, and
yes.
then and Cheryl Handling Maxwell.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.